And welcome to everybody over on YouTube, which is, I believe, where we are right now. I made it. Kyle, did you make it?
Sure, I sure did.
We're a little late, actually.
Sure did.
Rob, Gila, I see you guys.
Hello.
We see you.
Okay, and Alex.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I don't see Weldon. I guess he's not joining us?
No, he unfortunately he had to put the kids to bed.
Uh-huh.
And he's just recently had another young one, another family. So he sends his regrets, wishes he could have stayed. But
well, I'm glad he joined us for the first hour, and what an interesting perspective and information he gave us.
Yeah, Welton's a great guy, a wealth of information. Just I think generally, you know, all around knowledgeable when it comes to the shadiest corners of the internet.
Yes. And, of course, we naturally gravitate towards that as well. Yeah, we spent the hour talking about the election and various experiences that we had. But the other major story, the other gigantic bird in the room is of course, Twitter. What has been going on with Twitter over the last couple of weeks. Oh, my God. The last time we were on, 2 weeks ago, had Elon Musk completed his sale, or was it about to happen? Does anybody remember?
He did it after the show later in the week.
Really? Okay.
I think that's how it went down.
All right. You know what? Someone jump in, give a thought, and we'll just start the ball rolling with that, because if I start, I don't know if I'll be able to stop.
He seems to be dropping the ball and dropping it hard.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of spectacular to watch. It's like, watching a spectacular multi-vehicle road accident or train crash or something like that. But it's just been really fascinating because it's actually gotten people so interested in leaving the platform, finding a replacement, at least having a replacement in store for if Twitter blows up. And that has fueled this huge surge in interest in Mastodon.
Mastodon, yeah. And, you know, actually, I've got a couple of accounts on Mastodon, various instances. And they're basically, it's decentralized, so there's different Mastodons. Mm-hmm. You guys know of any in particular? I'm on mastodon.chaos.
Would that be a Mastodie?
I don't know. You see, this is the kind of crap I have to deal with. They're all over the world, and Chaos happens to be run by Chaos Communication or Chaos Computer Club over in Germany. I know there's Mastodon.social, there's Mastodon.online. I think we even have a Mastodon presence that we've had for a couple of years, right?
We do. We have a hacker radio show at Mastodon.social, although the profile seems to be hidden right now, but if you go to it, you can click past that and see it.
Is there a reason we don't have Off the Hook or the name of our show? Not to question.
It was started to I think match our Twitter handle, and of course we couldn't get Off the Hook as our Twitter handle.
Ah, but you know what? Now with Elon Musk in charge, he's promised to get rid of all the Twitter accounts that aren't being used, and Off the Hook is one of them. It used to be run by some seafood restaurant, but they went out of business. But the Twitter account, it's still there, unused. So I'm hoping that maybe some good could come out of all this. But, you know, your observations about Elon Musk dropping the ball and all that, why do you think that's happening? I mean, we're all noticing it. We're all pointing and laughing. And, okay, you know, it's a disaster, yes. But why do you think that's happening?
There's a lot of discourse around it. And, a big one is, of course, just he is rich and egotistical and didn't know what he was getting into when he announced loudly that he was going to buy the thing and then had to follow through on that. But there is another school of thought that I've seen here and there that thinks that he is sinking it on purpose to saddle it with debt and things like that, and the sort of shady company acquisition things that happen in the world. The same sort of thing that has seen the end of old brands like Toys R Us and Sears, where investors will buy it and then unload their debt onto it and then use that debt as a way to close the company down and no longer be responsible for that debt. And I don't know Elon Musk's finances. I'm not enough of an Elon Musk fan to have any idea whether this is accurate or not. But it's interesting to think of maybe he's not just being stupid. Maybe he's like being crazy like a fox.
Well, wait a minute. Okay, I'm trying to figure this out. So he buys. First of all, he wanted to back out of the deal. So I think everybody needs to remember that when they criticize Elon Musk, that he didn't want to buy it in the first. Well, in the second place, he didn't want to buy it. In the first place, he did. In the second place, he didn't. In the third place, he was forced to. Okay, so he buys Twitter for $44 billion. A company that's losing somehow millions of dollars a day. And now, has he paid for that with money, or is it just basically a promise? Anybody know? I guess not.
I have
okay.
no idea.
So he basically adds his own debt to that?
He raised capital, with a bunch of different venture partners or whatnot. And through that, I think that is that becomes debt because he went ahead and paid the public shareholders or the board or whomever owned it collectively as when it was public. And I'm sure the SEC will have a field day sorting this out.
I'm just trying to figure out how do you buy something for $44 billion and run it into the ground and benefit from that. You know, it's not something I want to do. It's just something I'm curious. How in God's name does that work where he actually can make this not a disaster for him, even though millions of users will feel the effect?
I don't know that he can. And it's like he's doing the corporate hokey pokey at this point, because everything he tries, or at least is pretending to try, he like puts one foot in and then takes one foot out, and then I don't know, do you like it this way? And this whole thing that has happened literally in the last, 2-3 hours with the verified checks, and then you can click on somebody's check and see if they got it because they're significant or they got it because they bought it. And then I don't know if that's like literally been turned around in the last, like since we've been on the air.
Well, what happens
things
if
are changing by the second.
I have a blue check, so what happens if you click on my check?
Do.
I've never clicked on my check. I guess I should have.
Well, this is a new thing apparently just now, so let's look you up.
Click my check mark.
We're going to click your check mark. Ooh, that sounds wrong.
But, yeah, it does sound wrong, but... Yeah, and I'm one of the few people around here that actually has a blue check. I know you all deserve it. You all deserve it, but
this
I've got it.
This account is verified because it's notable in government, news, entertainment, or another designated category.
Yeah,
okay.
That's
nicest thing anyone said to me this week. Say it again, Gayla. Say it one more time. I want to hear
that. Hold on. Let me pull the text up again. This account is verified because it's notable in government, news, entertainment, or another designated category.
And we're not going to tell you which. You have to figure that out on your own, or just imagine. Wow.
That's on you.
Alex, I see you're stewing because I don't believe you have a blue check mark yet. You're going to get one, though.
Well, I it's interesting. I went through that silly verification process, and if I recall the criteria correctly...
You call the process silly. I think that maybe that's why you don't have a check.
Well, that could be as well. It is a silly process. But if I remember the criteria correctly, and I think Rob might know the specifics of this actually, but if you had a byline published, so you could get verified as a journalist by having a byline, by having three bylines published within 6 months. Was that correct, Rob?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, there were different categories you could get verified in, and each of those categories had its own similar requirements to supposedly verify that you were that thing. So if you were a journalist, it wanted to know your bylines. If you were, like, getting verified as an entertainer, an actor, it wanted your credits, and things to that effect.
Yeah. So with that criterion, the three bylines in 6 months, I remember saying, oh, well, I've got that. So I showed them within, I think, 4 or 5 months, I think, two bylines in the Financial Times, one byline on CNN, and one byline in 2600 Magazine. I think you've heard of that.
Yes, but you have four bylines of that. You know, you write a column. You're in every issue. So you don't have to go to those other publications. You just have to, you know, go to 2600.
Oh, that's true, too. I know. But but that wasn't enough. They just said, you know, no. And I was like, okay, because I barely use Twitter. It's not something that's important to me at all. I think, they rejected me, even though I met all of their criteria very easily to become verified. And at that point, it just wasn't worth it for me to pursue it because, like I said at the outset, it's silly.
Go ahead, Kyle.
Well,
Dan Rob.
The meaning of it, I think, is it's interesting how a lot of it is changing before our very eyes, and a lot of it has to do with the people. If people are not comfortable with the type of environment it is, people will leave, and then that cascading or the diminishing returns of people being there and it being viable, it starts getting shaky pretty quickly if there's a rush of people that see it transforming in ways that they're dissatisfied with. And my opinion about what and why, I mean, more and more of the stuff that we took very seriously because it is transforming, I think, has less meaning, has less weight. And I don't know. I mean, it's maybe very heart-wrenching for people that were really attached to it. But there are people that just they're not going to stake their career on being around something that is disintegrating. And I feel like for those people, they're leaving. They're part of intelligent discourse. A lot of the reason that so many people are there consuming information and people's content. I'm thinking specifically of journalism and those sorts of things. So without that, you have less of an audience and less creators. And I don't know, my guess is as to the direction or what it is becoming, you know, if that's going on and ownership is changing, I think there are a bunch of reasons, I think, that we're witnessing. And I can just imagine certain goals in mind. There's probably a goal for this to be profitable. There's a lot of assumptions I think you can kind of link together and see why some of the choices are what they are. If you kind of imagine a very analytical, logical way of dealing with a purchase that you might not be totally happy with after on second thought. So it is it's fascinating the way it's playing out. But I think that there are the reasons for mainly, I mean, at least personally, for the new owner, are to have a hype machine and create your own dust-ups, because increasingly that's kind of what he thrives on. Is like, you know, now he kind of owns it and gets to, like, I don't know, just interact and throw weight around.
No, I think he's enjoying it. I think he's enjoying part of this, at least.
It's like, yeah, like a way to wield your power and feel big. So, yeah, I know it's a little bit of like a bullying kind of thing, and I think that people are really resisting it, but then they're realizing, okay, yeah, this really is owned by somebody else now, and that is part of that thing where the transformation of it
the
is
bullying,
changing.
The bullying goes both ways, though, because no matter what he says, he's going to get attacked, you know,
Well, how could he expect anything else?
That's true. I mean, I guess so. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, I think it's worth going into this saga of the blue checks that just happened today, because the blue checks, you know, they were some sort of verification, theoretically, ostensibly. Yesterday evening, someone called Esther Crawford, who works at Twitter in early stage product, announced that you're going to have now a second check mark because you can buy the blue check now for $8 a month.
$8 a month.
Yeah, $8 a month, you buy a blue check, and then you have a blue check. And that led to the question, well, then how do you know if someone's, like, really who they say they are, rather than they're someone who just had $8? So someone called Esther Crawford tweeted today, oh, well, we have this other official check that will appear under your username in addition to your blue check, and it will say official. So there's a screenshot here of Twitter's official account with their blue check, and underneath that, a little gray check that says official. And that's how you know that they're really who they say they are. And that was roundly ridiculed as something that looked stupid and didn't show up for everybody.
Why would you want the blue check then if you didn't get an official thing?
Well, earlier today those disappeared off the accounts that had them, and Elon himself tweeted, "I just killed it." So within the space of a day, this feature was implemented and then canceled by the CEO. And a well-known hacker called Evie described it as Twitter's fighting with itself now.
I wonder if I had one. Did I have an official stamp for a few minutes? That would have been something.
Huh. You might have. Well, no one will know now.
Speaking about things that are fleeting, I retweeted before the show someone named Rudy Giuliani, ESQ, who was complaining about George Soros beating him up. And it had a blue check, and you know, the username and the handle both said Rudy Giuliani. So you know, there was nothing there. Basically, Kathy Griffin, for instance, was pretending to be Elon Musk over the weekend, had her account permanently suspended as a result of that heinous act. But you could always tell it wasn't really Elon Musk because the username, the thing that comes after the @, was not Elon Musk. In this case, though, it was Rudy Giuliani both times. And I noticed now, just now, as I click on that retweet of mine, that the original tweet has come from a suspended account, so the account is now been suspended. But I wonder how they did that. Did they just register a new account using that name, which was available? I guess the ESQ made it unique. So that tells me that the $8 thing is in effect and it's already being abused.
It's been amazing, and as I was saying, there are so many more people on Mastodon now. There are apps that are circulating. One's called Debirdify, where if you're interested in checking out Mastodon, you set up this app. It will look around at your Twitter followers, what have you, and extract their Mastodon handles for those who are putting them in their bios, so you can follow all your pals on Mastodon.
And thanks to our listener friend Eyeball, who was basically able to take a picture of that tweet before it disappeared. Rudy Giuliani said, "I stand with Kyrie Irving and Kanye West because George Soros once pushed me down in the street and I was stuck on my back like a turtle for several minutes." Now, you know, it took me a few minutes to. Was that really Rudy Giuliani? Because it sounds like something he would say. But when I saw that he only had around 1,000 followers, it must be somebody else. So that's why I retweeted it. Hopefully that doesn't get me in trouble. You never know what's gonna piss off Elon Musk. I live in fear of that. But you know, one of the ideas I had, if we're thinking about raising money, you know, just spitballing it, why not have registered accounts? A registered account means that they've just paid for the privilege of having an account. And what does that account get you that an unregistered account doesn't? Okay, you limit the amount of tweets that an unregistered account has. Okay, so basically an unregistered account, you can tweet once, twice a day. Not very much at all. And if you're some kind of fanatic that wants to tweet a lot, you're going to pay whatever the amount. It shouldn't be too much, but pay for the registered account. But that registered account, we have no idea who this is. Could be anybody. It's just they registered. They paid. So they can tweet as much as they want. Now, the verified accounts remain verified. So that doesn't change. You're raising money with the registered, and Kyle's shaking his head. Why?
I don't think it pans out because it doesn't. You're preventing content. And content is what you use to have engagement as well as to justify any other ads and sources of revenue. So I just feel like that would be like asking, I don't know, like there are a lot of analogies I think that, you know, that would not be in the interest of their business plan.
But right? What happens to the content now, the way it is? When you say something, right, where does it go? Even if you have followers, do they see it? You know, and you know, you're George Takei, and you say something, everybody sees it immediately. The algorithm just works in different ways for different people. And that's something we don't understand, and that's something that we're not privy to. So, yeah, you know, in theory, that makes sense that all content should be allowed, but all content is not treated equally as it is. I don't know. I'm just, you know, like I said, spitballing out here. If they're trying to think of raising money, which seems ridiculous for something like this, but it's a better idea than what they came up with, all right? Go ahead, Rob.
You know, your spitball isn't very far off because Elon has been kind of mentioning these nebulous extra features that paying that $8 a month would get you, and one of them seems to be your tweets would have more priority in the algorithm.
Oh!
And so. If you buy that blue check for $8 a month, there's more of a chance that people following you for your tweets will see your tweets, and it's going to become a pay-to-play situation.
Which already exists because if you make a commercial account, any account can be made into a commercial account, by the way, and it can be made back from a commercial account. There's a button you can hit called promote, and if you invest a certain amount of money, your tweet somehow is promoted, and more people will see it. So I think that already exists. Exciting times. So yeah, with Twitter in chaos, Mastodon is on fire, according to this CNN article, and on fire, I guess, is a good thing in this case. So people are signing up for Mastodon, and you know, I've heard a lot of people express confusion as to how it works. I'm a little confused. I haven't really spent much time on it. I just, you know, grabbed a couple of accounts. Took forever to get a verification email. I think they're kind of swamped. But I'm not sure how to see accounts on other Mastodon instances. And the only explanations I got is to read manuals and things like that, which a lot of people are not going to want to do. It has to be made simple and easy. Has anyone here managed to get that far where they can see other instances and find other people in different places? Go ahead, Rob.
Absolutely. I mean, not to toot my own horn here, but I am kind of an old hand at Mastodon these days. I've been using it since 2018. And basically, bless you.
Thank you.
Basically, it works like email addresses, where you have a Mastodon username that's a string of your the @ sign, your username, the @ sign again, and your server domain. So, like, if you're Hacker Radio Show at mastodon.social, all someone needs to know is at Hacker Radio Show at mastodon.social. They could punch that in on their own Mastodon client or, you know, web interface or whatever, and it will bring up their account, and you can follow them. And so it works very similar to email in that any username at any domain can contact any other username at any other domain, barring things like a lot of instances have sort of been have popped up with, like, hate material, things like that, and there are these instances that basically get what's known as defederated, which means the rest of the network will agree that they're bad guys and not deal with them. But for the rest of the Fediverse, what's known as the Fediverse, yes, you just need the longer Mastodon address for people. It's longer than a Twitter screen name, so it's confusing for some people, but it doesn't take too long to wrap your head around. And anyone who's interested, I would encourage you to go to joinmastodon.org. There's a lot of intro to Mastodon type things there, plus a list of instances of servers you can join. If you're technically inclined, you can also set up your own.
Well, my first question then is, let's say my name is Rudolph Giuliani, and I get my Mastodon account on a particular instance. Well, how do I prevent other people from pretending they're me on all the other instances using that same name and just following with a different Mastodon instance? How do you know which one is the real one?
There is something you can do, and I forget immediately what this is called, but
is it called being verified? Can you be verified? Oh, blue check mark, that's a good idea.
Basically, you can verify yourself if you've got another web presence, which you can use to say, yes, that's me, all right. Like on my Mastodon, I have one of the links in my bio is my own personal website. And I inserted a piece of code that I got from my Mastodon server on my website, which is invisible, but which Mastodon can check for. And when it sees that, it puts a little green check mark next to that website. So someone looking at my profile knows that I have verified from my own domain that this is indeed my Mastodon.
What prevents someone else from doing something like that at a different instance? I'm still not clear.
Basically because they wouldn't be able to put that little blip on my domain. Okay. Only I control my website, so I put that little piece of code there that Mastodon looks for to say, this is my Mastodon, all right? And so it's basically having another form of ID, another form of verification that it's you, and for a lot of people that can be their personal or professional website, or it could be their presence on another social network or whatever. But
couldn't I do that just by using a name and any website and sticking that code on that website, saying, yes, I'm Rudolph Giuliani, here's my website? How do they know it's the right website?
Well, then that requires the sort of sleuthing ability to intuit whether somebody's website is theirs or not. My personal website has been mine since for 20 something years at this point, and so like it's that domain is kind of a matter of record. If somebody else put up a domain similar to mine, they could theoretically do this, but people who know me would know that that's not my site.
Okay. All right, I think I need to just experiment more because the whole, it sounds like it has potential, but it also sounds like it could be confusion, and there could be growing pains, and that's part of the whole technology that we
have
to deal with.
I just have a quick question, Rob. Maybe you can tell me, who controls the algorithm for Mastodon?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that must be a closely guarded secret among the elders of Mastodon. They keep it deep in a cave somewhere.
The algorithm is kept really deep in a really deep cave where nobody can find it, including Mastodon, because there is no algorithm. There is no way posts are artificially influenced to give them priority over other posts. It's just a timeline of who you follow, and when they posted it is when you see it. And it is like how Twitter used to be back in the day, and how a lot of social networks used to be back in the day before they decided to instigate the pay-to-play schemes. So it's really freeing. It's a lot more chill. There is no real doom scrolling on there because it does not thrive on the sort of panicking engagement that you were talking about on Off the Hook on FM, where it is fueled by your panic and your rage and your finding things to get angry at and getting angry at them. It's just, these are the people I follow. I'm reading what kind of sandwich they had, and it's kind of cool. It's like the old internet.
Interesting. But somebody is in charge. Somebody has to decide this person's not acting properly. And I'm just wondering what kind of oversight is there with whoever it is that's running that particular instance, saying this is what we'll tolerate, this is what we won't tolerate.
And the person who's in charge of an instance, or people that are in charge of an instance, are the people who started that instance. It's another harken back to like the BBS days, when somebody would install a BBS on a computer in their house, and they would control what goes on in that BBS. They would decide who can be on, who gets banned, or whatever. But the instances are each run by independent people, independent organizations. There is no central power over this. And so when you find an instance, you're not only finding instances that people have, put up according to a theme that you like or something that attracts you, but you can also browse instances to see like ones with terms of service that you like, uh-huh. ones with culture that you like, ones that have rules that align with your sort of what you want in a site like this.
It kind of reminds me of IRC channels. You know, where you get allowed in and you play by the rules of that channel, and if not, you get booted. But there's nothing to prevent the person running the IRC channel from being a complete jerk. That's what I'm worried about, is that how do you prevent the person running the instance from being a real jerk? Is there any kind of oversight?
There is not oversight over that, because it's just like websites. Anybody can put one up they want. But there is nothing keeping people tied to a particular instance, because if you're on an instance and you decide you don't like it, it's very easy to port your presence over to another instance somewhere.
Ah, okay.
You can hop around and find one you like. So it's not like a huge commitment starting up on an instance. You can always move to another later. Or if you do something that they don't like and get banned, or you have some kind of fight or whatever, you can pick up on another instance and maybe behave yourself a little better. It is an open system, and if you're technically minded, you can start up your own instance and make your own rules and be the jackass that's running things yourself.
And what's involved?
An instance just for yourself.
What's involved in running an instance? Do you need bandwidth?
It's on the web. It's web-based, and you need some web space. You need the ability to run active code on that web space, and it can even be as simple as like a plugin for WordPress, which is a content management system that's very popular and that a lot of people have the ability to sort of drop in and install on web space that they own. So if you've got the ability to moderate this sort of thing, install it, you've got the bandwidth for it. And it's text, so it's very little bandwidth. Then you're fine.
It's probably a lot of mental bandwidth.
A lot of mental bandwidth, I'm sure.
It's text, yes. But it could be video too, right? There could be all kinds of things posted on
there. You can. It's primarily text-based, but there are images, there are video, there's also a big culture of accessibility. So when you post images, you're reminded to put a text description in the image for those who can't see the images, which is helpful. But yeah, it's. It is, I think it's the closest you can get right now to what the social web used to feel like in the old days, when it was like web forums or email lists or, you know, the sort of precursors to modern social networking for profit. This is people running it because they love the thing. They want that community there. They want that community happening. Someone called the Gibson has done Hope Talks about this, what led him and his cohorts to start up their Mastodon instance. And you can find those on hope.net or channel 2600 on YouTube. And
where we are right now.
Yes, where we are right now. But don't look now because you're watching us.
Exactly. What do you think, guys? Rob should be in charge of our instance if and when we ever start an instance. It's so weird saying that. You know, I still can't use that word in that manner. It just feels weird. But, yeah, if we ever get an instance started, Rob should be the admin of that instance.
You guys couldn't afford me.
It reminds me a little bit of maybe I'm wrong. Do you remember FidoNet, Emmanuel?
I remember FidoNet. I never used FidoNet, but FidoNet was basically a bunch of BBSs, and they'd at night communicate with each other and send email from one to one. It was like a very slow-moving freight train that just went across the country.
That's what it sounds like. Mastodon is kind of like, but a lot faster, and a lot more data. But it seems like it's that same type of convoy of data that goes around all these federated instances. So, I don't know. But it reminded me of the old fight on that, speaking of the old days.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, are we going to take phone calls?
Yeah, I think we should. Actually, there's been people calling throughout, and I don't understand the logic behind that because, you know, we haven't even given out the phone number yet. We're obviously engaged in a very spirited conversation. Do you think we're going to stop and pick up the damn phone? No, that's not how we work. All right, our phone number is 802-321-4225. That's 801-321-HACK. 801 is in Utah. That's wrong. I think the phone is ringing.
Yes, yeah. Perhaps they run their own server for all of their personalities.
Yes, maybe so.
All right, here we go.
All right, let's take that phone call. And good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
This call-in is brought to you by the Parkside Restaurant in Corona, Queens.
What we are asking callers tonight to talk about is their experiences voting. Is this
okay,
Rebel?
Well,
did you have an experience voting?
Actually, I did not vote. I did not vote.
You did not vote. Why didn't you vote, Rebel?
I don't know. I just didn't want to.
You didn't want to vote. You see, this is something that really sticks in my craw because voting is so important, and you've never seen an election like this before. Look, if you vote for the other party, fine. At least you're expressing an opinion. If you don't vote at all, someone else is expressing your opinion for you, you know? And it's your fault. It's your fault that Long Island is red now. I blame you.
Well, I don't live on Long Island.
Yeah, I don't want to either, so great. What a world we live in.
Anyway.
Yeah, go ahead.
When I, you know, on YouTube, there's a thing called live. There's some like channels that do live feeds, like Google. I think they have like Earth cams or whatever. You know, there's a 40-second delay. I went to the Times Square one. You go there, you could see the camera focused down on Broadway at like 44th Street or something, and you could see people like by the you know, the ticket booth and all. And I went and I got on my phone and watched it on my phone. And I went and, you know,
why are we getting call waiting over Rebel? Hold on a second, Rebel. We're getting a call waiting with caller ID tone, which a lot of people just heard, and a little reminder. In the past, we never got that. We never got call waiting on this line.
It's not skipping over a caller ID either, so I can't, I mean...
Yeah, we don't know who's calling, but the point is, in the past, this phone line wouldn't... Let's hear that? That's... You don't hear it, Rebel. We hear something you don't hear.
There have been some changes in the system.
Wow. Yeah, well, we have call waiting now for some reason. We don't want it.
Well, wait, Google Voice can do call waiting now?
Apparently. I don't know what's going on, but it's not right. It's not right. So you're going to have to keep talking, but keep in mind that you're being interrupted by beeps and things.
Right.
We'll have this work done.
Yeah, we will.
Anyway, so I went in front of what I thought was in front of the camera, so because I like looked and saw like, you know, where things were. Like I saw like a bus passing by a certain store, so I looked at that on my phone, and I saw 20 seconds later the bus passing. So it's like a 20 or 30 second delay.
Wow. Okay, well, that story makes up for you not voting.
Okay, but, you know, isn't number portability, I don't like number portability because remember back in the old days when phone companies used to know the numbers and know who's, you know, who the numbers belong to. Now with number portability, you can have a number in California and you could live in New York or, you know, like you can have, you know, a different...
Yeah, numbers don't mean anything anymore. You're right. Area codes don't mean anything. Exchanges don't mean anything. Extensions never meant anything. But it's just a shame. It's just a shame that something that was so useful to have, you know, knowing where somebody actually was or you know, where their phone was registered, it just they took that away. I guess it doesn't matter to
these
people.
Yeah, just like when you get scam calls now, it comes up as a 917 number or a 347 or a 212 or whatever, you know, or an area code in like Nevada or whatever, but they're really not in Nevada.
No.
They're out of the country. They may be out, you know?
They could be from a different planet. You don't know where they're from at all.
Yeah.
It's what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
I remember back in the 80s.
There was, by the way, Rebel, I assumed you knew this, but there was a referendum on the ballot about restoring exchanges and area codes to the old methods so that this wouldn't happen anymore. It lost on the New York ballot. You didn't know about this? It lost by one vote. One vote.
Well, we'll talk about how you used to be back in the 80s. What's it called?
You don't seem too upset by this.
I looked at a phone, and back in the 80s, like 84, the USSR, Russia, Soviet Union was not listed. Nor was any of the countries of the U.S.
That's right. Albania wasn't listed either. Russia wasn't listed, but you could call them. They're country code 7. But Albania, you couldn't even call with the country code, which led to me driving to Canada once to call them.
You couldn't call Russia, the Soviet Union back then, because it was an 8-hour delay back.
You'd have to wait for a circuit to open, but you could call them. What I'm saying is you could not even call Albania no matter how long you waited. And that was the only country.
The same thing with China. I think China was the same.
There was no other country that had that kind of a restriction. There were delays and limited amounts of calls that could be made, but nothing like that. But that was, that was then. This is now.
Let's see, what else do I want to say? But while I'm thinking of what else to say,
you're just going to say nothing. Go ahead.
But while I'm thinking of what to say, let's thank our sponsor, Expeditus Transport of Ohio. When you need freight moved fast, call Expeditus Transport.
What are you reading ads to us now?
Yeah, you know, just like on YouTube.
So while you're waiting to think of something to say, you're just going to read ads to us. I guess
it's just like on YouTube.
It's no different than YouTube, I guess.
In the middle of a YouTube video, and then it stops, and then it says.
You are funny, but you should vote.
No,
you really should vote next time. You get one final thought here, Rebel, and then we're going to move on.
Okay. What can I be part of the video? Like, you know, like you have a video. I could go on my laptop and, you know, I'd be part of the video.
What video?
You know, Alex is there. Yeah, that you guys are on. Like Alex is there and whoever else is there.
Yeah, that's not something anybody really needs. First of all, you're coming on a phone line. You're not coming in on any other feature.
I could go on the feature.
But you'd need to know what the feature is called. You need to know the name and the password. And where are you going to get that from?
Well,
not from us.
I don't know. Mm-mm. Oh, speaking of that, did you get my email? I think I emailed you something.
I'm not sure. Our servers are pretty strict about what email.
Hold on, I emailed you something. Hold on, it was something.
You know, there's no way to stop this because you can dial *70 to turn off call waiting, but you have to do that before you make a call. You can't do that to prevent it from coming in. There's no way to stop this. I don't know. The phone company must have done something weird.
You can turn the feature off, but you'd probably have to...
Yeah, but where's the feature on? Is Google Voice really doing this now?
Yeah, I don't think you can do it over a touch tone.
No, you can't do it over a touch tone. You can't. Rebel, we're going to move on. Are you okay there?
Okay, I'm just trying to... I thought I emailed you something. I forgot what it was.
Well, we probably did too, so everything's fine.
Okay.
Well, it was a joy hearing from you. What's that?
No, it's not an Alpha.
Okay. Well.
All right. Well, I don't know.
We'll talk later, and please don't call back later with a disguised voice because we all know it's you. right. That was the one and only rebel who didn't vote. Man, that pisses me off. People should vote. I know, yeah, some people say it doesn't make a difference. It does make a difference. When you lose by one vote, it makes a difference. And, boy, this year it was, you know, there were things that people cared about. Rob,
I'm a very strong believer that if you abstain from voting, you're giving up your authority to complain about anything in the political sphere until the next election comes along and you vote in it, because you had your chance to have some sort of say. And, you know, if you don't take it, then that's it. You're not playing.
Yeah, it's just, it's irresponsible. It really is. And if you don't believe in the system at all, then I don't know what to say. You know, so basically, then you're a pawn. You're basically just going to be dictated to by other people, and you can't possibly do anything about it. That's your philosophy.
Yeah, when I hear that, I want to know what's your alternative.
Yeah,
what are you putting forth
in 1 minute or less? What a diatribe. We have a call. Hello, good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Gang, this is Tim in Connecticut. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. I also went and voted at my local elementary school.
Cool. Were you in the gym or the cafeteria?
In the gym.
Okay. Do you notice all the baskets on the wall?
Yeah, I think that's for, you know, gym class. When you have a lot of kids, you pass out 20 basketballs and you lower all the hoops and let...
Yeah, that's what Kyle said, but, you know, how do you keep track of all that? You know, boy, this is annoying. His call waiting tones are so annoying.
Hey, you don't really care. And then if there's going to be a real game, you just take everything else back up and just only leave down two.
I guess, but it just seems like all this attention is being focused on basketball. I didn't know that was, you know, the fixation here, but I guess it is.
In the wintertime, you know, you got to have the kids inside. What are they going to do?
Well, you know, I was talking about this yesterday in the half hour I was waiting. All the different sports that we played, one was called bombardment, where basically the only goal was to hit you with a ball.
Dodgeball.
Dodgeball is what Kyle called it as well. But
no, we called it garbage.
You call it garbage?
Yeah.
But basically, there's a bunch of kids being hit really hard with rubber balls. I mean, how is that a sport? I never understood that.
It ups your reaction time.
Yeah, no, they didn't have balls. It was like a pint. Chocolate milk carton stuffed with newspaper and then like tightly wrapped with duct tape.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It was.
Yeah, mine was big red air filled rubber balls.
Okay, there you go. Well, okay, then for Foursquare and dodgeball. But I think my theory with the basketball, I think it's good. There's team skills there, right? Small teams,
sure,
as you said.
Coordination.
And I was just going to say, hand-eye coordination, really big as you're growing up and you're active, but you're also able to, like, excel at some of that fine motor skill, you know?
Well, okay, I just wonder if other gyms in other parts of the world where basketball isn't such a thing, do they have other things on the wall, you know, like hockey or I'm not sure where they put it exactly, but yeah, other sports. Is basketball the only thing they can do?
Well, I just think it's an affordable, sort of like an accessible way to accomplish some of those goals.
Baskets are pretty expensive to put up on walls. I'm not sure how affordable it is.
Fair, yeah.
Anyway, so how was your voting experience?
Oh, actually, I was in and out. I went at about, around 9:15. And, you know, just after everybody got off to work, before people who dropped off their kids came in to vote. I tried to slide in between there at an odd time, but I was in and out without too much of a problem.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, I never thought about voting in the morning. I guess you could do that.
Oh, yeah. I made the mistake of being last time we voted. I decided I would get up at crack of dawn and be the first one there. And that's where I found everybody that had to go to work first, or, you know, it needed to go to work in the morning, so they went and voted first.
Wow.
That was a nice long line.
Now, how is the technology where you voted?
It was basic. Take the pen, scribble in your circle, and then put it in the scanner before you leave, and then you get your sticker.
Okay.
We weren't allowed to keep our pens.
Yeah, I don't know how
I did get a sticker.
Did you get a sticker?
Yeah, I got a sticker. Let's see. Also, though, going back to the Twitter blue checks,
mm-hmm.
I noticed while reading over a couple of news feeds today that LeBron James and others were impersonated by verified Twitter accounts, but the one that really caught my eye is the Jesus Christ account.
Oh, no.
Verified.
Jesus Christ is verified? Wow, so yes. It's really begun in earnest, hasn't it?
Yeah, at Jesus.
Wow. How is that not taken? How is Jesus not taken as a username?
Think about it. Who do you want to be?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
For $8, you could be anybody you want.
But I'm saying you could have taken that that username without saying your name was Jesus Christ, you know.
True.
So somebody who had that username must have been waiting for this day.
The second post in it says, this is a parody, and right under that has the Elon Musk. Going forward, any Twitter handles engaging in impersonation without clearly specifying parody will be permanently suspended.
Uh-huh. There's also the Twitter of God, which has been around forever, but that has never been verified.
Mm-hmm. Well, for $8 now.
For $8, God can be verified, yes. It's a historic day, I guess.
You know, do you want to be Lewis or Clark or Stanley Livingstone? You know, take anybody out of history.
See, we're going to have a couple of days of fun, and then it's all going to get really murky and meaningless.
Once Elon Musk hires back a staff, yeah.
I don't know if that's ever going to happen, but...
I mean, you know, who was it? Meta just laid off a lot of people.
I saw that, and I also saw that their stock went way up right before they did that, because they said they were going to lay off a whole ton of people, and the mm-hmm. stockholders loved it. And that
as
tells you everything
Zuckerberg
you need...
said, you know, they had just put on too many people for the COVID-19, and they expected more business that they didn't get. So, apparently jobs are easy to hire and fire people.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, I think within the next few days, just about anybody can show up on Twitter for $8.
Yeah, I think some of the stories around that's the real stuff that we're going to have to follow and maybe be talking about in more serious terms, because as these places disintegrate, as I've said, I mean, what are the security implications? What will it become, you know, even if you're already treating it as though you do not trust it or, you know, take it as a primary form of communication, to what end will it be cannibalized and reformed around you? And that's something I'm sort of interested in and curious about going forward, but personally not all that invested in. And I think that's a good way to be about it.
If the long-term goal is to load it up with debt and just sink it and then bring out Twitter Lite or whatever the next version will be, that would be kind of an interesting model, I guess. But, I mean, it seems like that's an awful lot of money to have in play to do these games.
I agree.
You know?
Yeah, and I think that, like, the things we've been learning about, like, the way Web 2.0 platforms have been used and social media and so forth in, you know, getting real scrutiny is really barely emerged. You know, we've talked about it a lot, but real action, real change in that realm, I think, is kind of still elusive. The GDPR stuff in the UK about, like, data privacy and some of those issues is something that is kind of in the back of mind, I think, and to a degree, like, you know, what level of scrutiny are they going to be comfortable with? Because I think that as it's not staffed as well, as there's less interest.
Security?
Yeah, I think that there's real problems there for, as we've just been kind of laughing about, you know, things being exploited and false impersonation and false pretenses and, you know, damage. But the other thing is they're trying to build towards something else, you know, and I'm thinking of, like, the new communications platforms and, all the products for 5G and beyond and 6G, what kind of liability, what kind of responsibility will these companies actually have? Like, will there be any accountability as they kind of try to, outpace this gap or this vacuum and introduce new things that are shiny and that keep people on their system, but may actually just be opening many more Pandora box with less oversight or without having actually been any accountability. Does that strike you as a possibility?
Absolutely. I think that, if leaders of industry are not cautious, they could easily turn away people who really aren't paying for the service now. I mean, a lot of things are, hey, this is nice. Oh, you're going to charge me for it? Well, I can find another place to go. and that will, turn too many people away, I think. Oddly enough, this was also just in the looking for the Rudy Giuliani quotes. A Twitter user by the name of Mike Masnick, M-A-S-N-I-C-K, also verified, has all those listed on his front page.
Okay.
The other point towards that, though, is what about celebrities who couldn't get their actual name and had to put, had to have a handle like The Real, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think of one, I don't know, Mark Hamill or one of the guys that was just late to the game or had a common name and had to supplement their Twitter handles with The Real or something like that, then somebody could just turn around and say, well, gee whiz, I'm that person, and then bury down in their posts, this is a parody account. But I honestly think that the damage could be done quickly until somebody figures it out and bans it.
Interesting times ahead, for sure.
Yeah, and that's right. Just it. Without leadership,
yep.
People rush in.
Reckless leadership.
Yeah, totally, totally.
I mean, to put something in place and repeal it the same day, it's like, we didn't think that one through. Let's try again.
Or let people go that you need to build all the new stuff that
exactly.
Might, bring in new users or retain the ones that are about to go overboard voluntarily.
Fire me, and I have the heartbreak, the cleaning out your desk, the, oh, my goodness, where's my next paycheck coming from? And then turn around and say, hey, we made a mistake. We need you back. Now, what's your quality of loyalty going to be, knowing that, on a whim, you can be gone?
At will, yeah. Well, I mean, companies, corporations need to realize that can come back at them the other way. And
exactly.
Once you let them go, they don't necessarily have to come back. But, I always hated that about, employment contracts where you were, you had in the back of your head that you could be treated that way. And then to actually have been integral and then treated that way is sort of a really bad taste
okay,
you're left
yeah,
with.
Yeah, you get treated that way. And then they let you back in, and that's when you put your logic bomb into the code.
Oh yeah, they're asking for that. Yeah, in many ways, with the inconsideration, if they're not careful, like people, the resentment and bad feelings, you already see a lot of people's reactions to how things went. Go ahead.
And if I might jump in here really quick, there have been material consequences to all this too, to Twitter's layoffs. I keep a Twitter tab open over the, just all day over the course of my day here, and I have noticed multiple times today the Twitter webpage has failed to load. It has popped up the error message, something went wrong, and there have been people among those laid off, as well as others familiar with the situation, saying, yeah, there were teams of hundreds of people who would have, it would have been their job to fix things, and now they're not there. And these things are not getting fixed. They don't have enough staff to basically maintain the website as it exists. So, yeah, the thing's getting rickety. It's starting to show, you know, signs of wear at the edges. And so with all this focus on new features that they put in and take out and put in and take out and everything else, the site is actually not working very well right now.
Yeah, I can just see it to a logical extent just becoming unwieldy and it becoming more about a place where you can try to gather users and then insert them into something that you start anew. In other words, let the old thing kind of disappear and roll out something new with all these users you kind of moved over as best you could after you tried all these kinds of freeform market research and trial by insane error. Take whatever lessons and filtering you did there and just see who comes to this new pay for thing. That's kind of, I don't know. There's a lot of ways to imagine it. I'm sure other people have ideas.
I would certainly sit back on the sideline and see what happens before I invest anything. But I mean, if you're already in, if everybody knows you by your Twitter handle and it's part of your company or something like that, then yeah, bad times are ahead. I feel
interesting times ahead. Let's see what happens. Let's not take it too seriously and learn from the experience. And hopefully, Elon learns something as well. We'll see.
Yeah. Okay, I'll drop off the line, let somebody else get in.
Okay, thanks for your call.
See you guys.
Take care. And yes, we are having trouble with the phone line because for some reason caller ID is call waiting is on it. So that means if two people call, we get all those beeps. So, you know, we're going to try to take one more phone call. And if we do take one more phone call, please don't call because then you'll be making beeps and that'll just annoy everybody.
It's an attentive service provider trying to add and provide.
You're giving us things we don't want.
As many features.
I don't want that.
As we can possibly stand
no.
at any minute. Yeah.
I don't want voicemail. I don't want call waiting. I like busy signals.
You have Oh, no.
What?
Dial tone.
Trying to tell me here, Kyle.
We might have lost this
caller. Lost the call. But we didn't know we had a call. We lost it really quickly.
I was just going to say we had one.
Anything from our Skype people? They've been awfully quiet. And Alex, are you there? Alex? Yes.
Alex. I'm here. I was just on mute, you know.
Oh, okay. Well, we miss your voice.
Yeah, I'm here, you know.
All right, well said. We have a phone call?
Please hold. There may be a few moments of silence.
Wait, why am I hearing a recording somewhere? And why is Robin Gila laughing? Are you playing a joke on us?
When are we not laughing?
I don't know. I just hear a recording.
No idea what you're talking about.
Okay. Well, now you're the one laughing, so what are you up to?
Nothing.
Calling us? Is that what he's doing? Let's find out. Hold on. Hello, is anyone there?
IntelliCall Operator Services.
Okay, what in God's name have...
Is calling collect. However, collect calls are not allowed to your number. Would you like to pay for this call with a credit card?
No.
To accept this, press 1. To deny this call, press 0 now. Please enter your choice now.
Wait. What happens if I don't do anything? Yeah, let's find. I guess we get connected. This is
IntelliCall Operator Services.
This smacks of rebel. This is the kind of thing he does.
Is calling collect. However,
it's
collect calls are not allowed to your number.
Well, Alex and Rebel
like
are very
to pay
similar.
For this call with a credit card. To accept this call,
from
press
the waist
1.
Up. Yeah.
To deny this call, press 0 now.
So wait, how long will this recording stay on? It's just going to keep saying that over and over again?
I remember this number. I know we play with
IntelliCall Operator
Services.
Wow,
this is super annoying.
All right, well said.
Is calling collect. However, collect calls are not allowed.
That was me saying that to him.
Would you like to pay for this call with a credit card?
So you can't say no. You can't say no.
To deny this call, press 0 now. Please enter your choice now.
How about we just hang up? Let's just hang up. That's annoying, Alex, to say the least.
You didn't want to talk to the operator?
Well, you know, I would have talked to the operator, except the operator didn't want to come on unless we hit a button, and that was just too much effort for us.
Well, that wasn't a real call, so why don't we let
it? I mean, it wasn't a real call. It was a real call, and we picked it up. It was there.
I don't have a credit card to use.
We spent so much time flapping our own gums, you know, the first half hour, I think.
I'll bet we somehow get charged for that, too, and then we'll be calling, you.
Yes.
Is there a call? Okay. We have a real call now. Sure. And good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Good evening. This is Bobson from Bulgaria.
No. It's Bobson from Bulgaria. We haven't heard from Bobson from Bulgaria since...
One more call.
I mean, so much has happened since then.
A couple months now.
Months, yeah. I mean, I think your country changed its name at one point, then changed back, and there's all sorts of history going on. And yeah, it's... Wow. You didn't hear about that?
Don't.
No?
Not that I remember.
Okay, well, I think that's probably the way they want it.
How are you, Bobson?
Yeah, how are you?
Well, doing fine for the most part, yes.
Well, that's good. Good to hear from you again.
I have a question. What date was the elections in the U.S. this year?
The one that just happened?
It's in early November, but I'm not sure which day it was on.
It was yesterday, November 8th.
So it was on Tuesday the 8th?
Yes.
Not on Tuesday the 1st?
No. You might have heard somebody on this radio show, Rebel, say that, but it was wrong. It was quickly corrected and condemned.
Oh, wow.
Why? You sound disappointed. Why does that affect you in Bulgaria?
Well, not that it does, but I thought it was on, I was thinking it was on the 2nd of November.
If the 2nd of November were a Tuesday, it would be, but it's never on the 1st of November, if the 1st of November is on a Tuesday, for obvious reasons.
Oh, okay. Well,
I don't know what those obvious reasons are, but they are obvious.
So it was in recent days then?
It was recent day, yesterday.
I hope you all voted.
Yeah, no, I voted. I'm lecturing people who didn't vote. I voted. I went out there and I voted big time.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people voted, Boston.
Yeah, a lot of people voted.
Well, that's good to know.
Yes, but thanks for reminding us to vote. That's important.
Well, I would have done it last week, but, you know.
What's it like to vote?
I never got through.
What's it like to vote in Bulgaria? That's what I want to know.
Well, over the past year or so, we've had it 4 times now.
Wow.
For various reasons.
Okay. And
so, what was the most recent?
Yeah, how recently did you vote last?
I think it was in... I'm trying to remember if it was in December or January.
So it was almost a year ago.
No, not even 3 months ago.
Okay, well, this is November, so if it's 3 months ago, that puts it in the summertime.
Okay.
You might have meant the summer.
Sorry, I'm thinking it's February now, which it isn't.
It's an interesting mistake to make, but so tell us, when you go vote in Bulgaria, what's it like at the polling place?
Well, they have machines in recent elections now, machine voting, electronic and what have you, which is basically there's a terminal of some sorts there, which you can push touch screens on and select various options and what have you.
Is there any kind of paper trail?
Well, it prints out a piece of a small piece of paper that you're supposed to take to a clerk at a desk nearby.
And that has your vote on it? That they can recount if they have to manually? Okay, that sounds like a system.
Something like that. Oh, well.
Anyone else have any questions for Bobson here while we have him? Alex?
No, I just, you know, how have you been? It's been a while. You know, I feel like this is a reunion show of sorts, since it's been a while since we've been on the air, and it's great to hear your voice.
Well, yeah, it's been a few months since I've managed to call, but so well.
I should point out that it's what, 3 o'clock in the morning where you are?
Yes, I guess we should point that out.
It's more like 4.
So 4 in the morning. Okay, so anybody listening, you know, try calling someone at 4 in the morning, and, you know, you'll sound tired.
Yeah, and in not your native language as well. So, you know, that makes it even a bit more difficult.
Yeah, a challenge to our listeners. Call somebody in Bulgaria at 4 in the morning, at your time, not their time. They'll be angry if you do that. And talk to them in Bulgarian. I want to hear how you sound. Bobson's English is great.
That was great. But I will say, Bobson, though, you know, since you haven't been calling, I haven't made my usual stops at the Bulgarian grocery store. And you know, if you think it would be worth my while, I will re-pick up making those stops in future weeks, if you catch my drift.
Well, I know not what would be worth your while, but if you've enjoyed what you've had so far, you may want to keep enjoying it or what have you.
That's what we try to tell Alex all the time. If you know, enjoy something, keep doing it.
Yeah, that's true. You know, but you know, we got to grow up sometime. You know. No.
Well, that's overrated, I hear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. But that's, you know, I think that really is part of the hacker mentality, which is this childlike attitude towards the world, where we're not afraid to ask questions or take things apart. I mean, it is childlike, I think, in the best ways.
Bobson, is there anything... Hello. Interesting going on in Bulgaria that you want to share with us, hacker related or with telephones and
or just anything really.
Society. What's the mood? How are you? You know.
Well, things are getting wintered down in recent days.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with the approaching winter and what have you, it not. Many events or such
mm-hmm.
that I have heard of.
Well, it sounds exciting. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of things happening. Probably festivals or winter festivals and autumnal type things of a Bulgarian nature.
It is lucky that some of those things are happening somewhere around the country, but I don't get out of town much, so mm-hmm. I don't see any of those.
So it sounds like you're getting ready for the cold weather and things are a little more subdued or cozy, you know, quiet.
Yeah, sounds cozy.
Yeah, cozy, yes. Mm. About right, yes.
Have you heard that the Chaos Congress has been officially canceled, but there might be some satellite conferences instead?
Oh, no.
Yeah. The one in Hamburg had to be canceled because of COVID. Well, because of COVID restrictions, mostly.
Yeah, well, makes sense.
A lot of people, so...
Mm-hmm. But there might be a bunch of smaller ones spread throughout Germany, including, we talked to Mitch about this a couple of weeks ago, at the BCC in Berlin, Congress Center. So, you know, that could be a lot of fun, too. And, you know, you could even have something in Bulgaria, I think.
Are you talking about the mid-December Winter Congress, or
yeah.
Are you talking about the Summer Congress?
No, not talking about the camp, talking about the Congress, which December 27th through 30th.
Yeah, December.
It's being fragmented.
Oh, wow. Kind of like Mastodon, I guess, right? Like the CCC was Twitter, and now we have Mastodon.
Oh, wow. You just made some
it works.
Oh, come on.
Okay, we'll get letters. We'll get letters, I know, but...
German letters.
I know. I won't be able to read them, so there. Everybody wins. Well, Bobson, we're not going to keep you up much longer. In fact, we're getting tired.
But stay in touch.
Yes, it's good hearing from you.
We want to know you're well and what the latest from Bulgaria is. You're our correspondent.
And you can write to us, too, you know.
Wow, yeah, that takes some doing.
Wow.
As opposed to redialing a number already in the memory of the phone.
That is very convenient that they have that technology.
Yep.
Well, again, it was a real pleasure hearing from you, and we hope to hear from you again soon. And I think Alex has a closing comment.
Yeah, Bobson, I'll tell you, I think I read you loud and clear, and I'm going to make some stops in the near future at the Bulgarian grocery near me. So get ready.
Did he communicate some secret message to you? It sounds like you guys are communicating some
way.
Sounds
like that.
Yeah, that we're not aware of.
We may have, you know, this whole thing where Bobson calls some weeks and doesn't call others could all be some kind of elaborate signaling.
But that I'm basically
facilitating.
So that yep. gets me right in the middle of it. Thanks.
Yep. So I will go to the I will go and speak to the local grocer.
Local grocer being a euphemism for all right, fine.
No.
I didn't ask for this.
And we'll report back.
Abort.
Okay.
All right, Bobson.
Good night, everyone.
Great talking to you. Be well.
Same here.
All right.
Have a good rest.
All right. I think we need a good rest because we've been at this for a couple of hours now, and I'm tired and cranky, and we have other things to do.
It feels like about that time.
You really going to play a harmonica, Alex? That's what we need right now?
I don't know what you're talking about. Mm.
All right. Well, folks, thank you for listening. OTH@2600.com is our email address. Please write to us with your comments, or observations, advice, things like that.
For the immediate future, it's at Hacker Radio Show on that Big Bird
Mastodon.social
site.
Right?
Yeah.
Which you can't get – Rob, maybe you can explain this. You can't get accounts on that anymore, apparently.
Well, instances, a lot of them have been basically hitting the limits of the amount of people they can support or that they want to have on. It's some admins, they made a decision to keep it smaller, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but there are plenty of instances out there. Go to joinmastodon.org to find one for yourself.
What if we had, at the radio show, a Mastodon instance limited to 5 people? Could we do that?
We could totally do that.
And it would just be us.
It would just be us.
It would be the coolest Mastodon instance ever.
Yeah, and then we'd have to keep declining people who wanted to join us.
It's a great feeling to reject people. It really is.
But, you know, I don't know if I'd want to be in any club that would have me as a member. So
okay, then you're out of the club, and it's down to 4 people now. Or we'll bring Bobson in instead to replace you, and it's back up to 5.
Woman haters, I see how it is.
you quit. You quit the group. Yeah.
But you know, we'd be having a request from Rebel, of course, right? I mean, he asked to join our video chat tonight, didn't he?
He did. And it was very hard not to give out all the information that he would have needed to do that. But we managed. We got through that. We got through that.
Yeah, question. I mean, imagine the thrill of seeing him play basketball and talk to us at the same time.
Look, we had a call waiting crisis tonight that I think we also dealt with very well. All right, so we have to recover from all that. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We will hopefully be on next week.
Yeah, this has been overtime, off-the-hook overtime.
Make it sound like it's really too overtime.
Way overtime.
Too much time.
On Channel 2600. Come back. Visit us again.
Yes, and while you're here on Channel 2600, feel free to wander around and explore all the other videos, all the Hope videos that are on there. We just put another WUSB video from 1990 on there, which is really kind of awesome. And we're going to have more stuff, a lot more stuff. So stick around. Good night.
Dislike and unsubscribe.